I need to fire my agent. He is indeed a fucking idiot. Or he's doing so much coke that his secretary Stella is doing the actual fucking work again. Or maybe the couriers delivered the wrong envelopes to the wrong addresses. Or the old gods intervened and are just now feeling mischievous. Or, you know, I'm just jaded and cynical. Earning $16 million for the last movie that had me giggle like a schoolgirl, show my penis. It was a body double, by the way, and a disappointing one at that, let me tell you. And then the promotional junket at the Ritz delivered me the wonderfully random delight of a pretty showbiz journalist from Portugal just fluffing her lines and simply stating, "I'm sorry, I just wanna fuck you." How the hell am I supposed to be gifted to play this in a dark, ironic way? An interstellar cargo carrier, set in 2067 on the Mars-Earth trading route. A mystery virus carried by octopi in the kitchen deck. I know! Managing to turn us all into genderless fuckwits, striving and succumbing to murderous thoughts until only one remains, destined to be the carrier. The recipient of the Queen's seed, as an alien race attempts to pursue colonization of the galactic outer rim? Seriously? Do I have to find my daughter so I can forbid her to marry one? I stare down at the script in my hands, not quite believing what I'm reading, and reach for my cup of coffee. It's not Alien, or Blade Runner, Outland, or Mercury 6, or Highlander, not even a bad episode of 60s Star Trek. It pretends to struggle to strive to be. Fuck this shit. You sent me this thinking I'd love it? We need, seriously, to have a conversation, Mr. Agent. Or perhaps Stella too. Maybe I just need to take a deep breath. And then take a look around. Nibieska's. It was a little gem, a family-run coffee shop. They'd been here since the 50s, the family coming here after the war. Set in a forgotten quiet corner of Covent Garden, only the ardent lucky few knew where it was. And they kept returning because it wasn't the corporate bland monster that infects every single high street. This was a small, distinct advert for singular colour, where the coffee could be good one day, and absolutely awful the next. They baked their own sweet things, and sometimes they were burnt, sometimes they were just right. You never quite knew what you were going to get, and that's why it was such a delight. Not so much a business, it felt more like an invitation whenever you sat at a table to simply hear and feel a family expressing itself. No holds barred. Today was a Saturday, and it was busy. They always called me Mr. Englishman, which tickled me copiously. They knew who I was. I'd even signed a DVD for a surprise birthday gift for one of the cousins. But they just let me get on with whatever I needed to do. And whenever I'd drop in late, Papa Nibieska would join me at my table, and we'd put the world to rights, grunting as men do when we speak and decide where the world has gone wrong. And because it was the weekend, the older kids were in residence, bustling around, taking care of things, in their dark blue uniforms. They would always swing by and say hello, never intrusive, just friendly. There was Yarek, dreaming of being a pilot, but right now just keeping an eye out for the ladies. Little Anya, all smoulder and smiles. She'll be going to university in a couple of months. And there in the back, there was Tola, keeping tight control of the chaos. She never smiled, for whatever reason, just grimly keeping going, steering the ship. She was a dark mystery, and all the more intriguing for it, but I will make her giggle one day, even if it's the last thing I ever do. Back to the script. I've been around long enough, so I remember when times could be tough. My first breakthrough set me up, and the calls and the nominations started to come as people began to notice what I could do. But I always remember the early years, living off student food. You know, noodles and cheap red wine and toast. With Nail and I, it wasn't quite. But there's a reason we love that film in the business. Because we can all find little resonances in there somewhere. It's like an industry-wide in-joke. Ah, for fuck's sake. McDermott's leg has just fallen off for no reason any sane person can imagine. I mean, am I missing something? If they were aiming for a bleak and complex, they nailed it for sure. Not quite Citizen Kane oblique or Usual Suspects complex. If they were aiming for sloppy, tired and misspelt, then they fucking nailed that too. The Zions officer looks like he's in trouble now. Yes, you heard me. The Zions officer. S-I-E-N-S-E. And you know what? His name is Zed. If someone says, Zed's dead, baby, Zed's dead, in the next few pages, I am personally going to stalk Los Angeles till I find the fucker who wrote this, and I will stick this script where the sun don't shine. Which is a neat trick in LA, if you get my drift. But my incredulous eyebrows at the words below me were interrupted as Tola weaved across the floor and approached. I'm sorry, Mr. Englishman. I know you're busy, but this is the last seat in the house. Can I sit someone here with you? This is why I love this place. Without even flinching, I replied and smiled. Of course you may. Tola stepped aside and proffered the seat to her companion. Please, take a breath. And I'll get someone over to see to you. And that was when we met. As you sighed and took a weight off, all denim and heels sliding gently into that little chair opposite me, just grateful to be able to sit down, a morning of chaos both tiring and demanding having left its mark, as all you needed was a moment of pause and a damn fine coffee. Maybe a pastry. Maybe just a moment to collect your thoughts. Thank you. I just needed a minute, a seat and a pause, you said, as you finally took a deep breath, arching your head back as you stretched and stretched in your seat. Relaxing, unwinding, and I'm already curious as to what's caused you such stress. This is the kind of thing that only happens at Niebieska's. It's a strange, friendly atmosphere, maybe also magical, but people say their most honest things here. A sigh from you, giving at least some semblance of release, as Tola bustled up again and placed a cup softly for you on the tabletop, and you open your eyes and smile to her, thanking her as she left again. She placed a friendly, gentle palm on your shoulder as she stepped away, as you muttered, "Coffee," and started to regain your composure. Red-headed, you began to find yourself in this quiet little corner of the coffee shop as you sipped a little. Faux redhead, perhaps, but a redhead you clearly were in spirit, confident and peaceful within your thoughts. A little lioness with a style that just oozed smiles and energy. And then those eyes. Dear God. Green. Grey. Rust and mottled honey flecks of texture, as I think I can see little dark motes of grey in there too. Maybe I'm wrong there. Those stains of rust shining back as you blinked, the sun through the window catching them sharply. And when you did, you smiled warmly again, as if to say hello. "I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you," you said. "That's quite all right, little red-headed stranger," I gently quipped, staring mischievously into those beautiful eyes, seeing them flutter. "And what's my new companion's name, I wonder?" I linger a little with my glance, seeing you react, demurely, but with a sparkle, holding my gaze confidently. "Oh, I'm sorry. Melody. Pleased to meet you." "Well, Melody, it's a pleasure to have you too at my table today." And I smiled warmly, reaching a hand across the table to you, gently enveloping your soft pale hand noticing your dark mint green nail varnish, with the sunlight catching the playful glitter within them, and you made me smile again. Such a nice shade of green, I softly added, looking at your hand, holding and lingering another time, as I feel you soften, and I stroked your palm slightly with my finger, hoping you can see that I noticed you do so. It matches your eyes so well. Looking up again and catching you full on this time. And this time I see you melt just a little more as my soft, deep voice betrays the tenderness in my touch. And then the slightest of blushes and the slightest of pressure as I can feel you almost wanting to squeeze back. And we slowly withdraw our hands as you suddenly grin. And we both relax back into our seats, our eyes still dancing, gauging and assessing each other as we accept a little frisson of electricity connecting us there. Little Anya, busily checking up on her tables, breezily coming over and asking if we were okay, and we both glanced over to her and matched our, yes, I'm very fine, in perfect unison. Maybe she simply picked up on that harmony, or the two pairs of eyes that were shining when looking towards her, or perhaps the relaxed body language. She grinned a little. Her eyes were smiling, as she proclaimed, "You two should sing together. That was perfectly said. Mr. Englishman, you've met your muse, and you know you're supposed to be working." You furrowed your brow just a little. "Mr. Englishman?" you asked. "Oh, yes," said Anya. "In here, he's just our Mr. Englishman." And then she turned away and busied back to the kitchen chaos, throwing away a line that got quieter and quieter as she receded further across the bustling coffee shop. "Just throw up a hand and I'll come to you if you need anything." Eyebrows raised already, you threw both hands up with a mock expression of comic confusion looking over to me. "Yes, Melody." "One, they call you Mr. Englishman. So firstly, what's that all about? Two, that pile of paper is 2 inches thick. Is that your work? Are you a writer? Screenwriter, maybe?" And then took a sip of coffee, waiting for an answer. Closing your eyes again, arching and sighing. "Oh, that feels so good. A moment to just... Oh." "You must be a Leo," I thought idly. Only a Leo would demand such answers in such a way. I wonder where else your lioness roars. And I think I've maybe misjudged you just a little bit. "Take your time, Melody," I smiled. "Thank you, sir. This morning's already been a bit of a bitch. I just need a moment of repose, and that's exactly what I'm getting." "I'm so sorry to hear that. What was going on? Transport? People? Phase of the moon?" "Oh, nothing so dramatic. My mum's just driving me crazy again." She looked down a little and furrowed those exquisitely shaped brows again. Just a little again. And I replied curiously. "And that was my next question, too. What brings you here from... Upper Midwest, I'm guessing?" She looked up sharply, that radiant smile returning again. "Yes. How did you know?" "I've a good ear for accents. Midwest is just so gentle and relaxed, honest and almost naked when it comes to expressing emotion. Especially when they try to do it softly." She blushed a little again, giggling softly, warmly, a little lip bite going on. "Yeah, you're so right. We just can't hide our feelings. It's always getting us into trouble." As you finished, you looked again into me and tilted your head to one side, absent-mindedly stroking the side of your neck as you did so. I beamed. I would let those eyes devour me. They were just full of such secrets, such longing. youth and vigour, a calm serenity, and yet a fire and a power still lurking somewhere underneath. Demure yet hungry, quiet and yet turbulent, soft but steeled, submissive and playful, but oozing such potential explosive passion. They were happy to be so unveiled, happy to be so noticeably naked to anyone who cared to look closer. And I was joyously happy to do so. And I could see you were more than happy to let me. And then you bit your lip so gently again. "Mr. Englishman," you offered quietly. I pretended that the nuance was missed, but I knew your eyes could see otherwise, before launching into explanation. "Oh, I've been coming to this place for a while. It's a quirky little diversion for me. It's got character in buckets. It's not your usual chain place. That's enough to make it what it is. And they decided to christen me Mr. Englishman for some reason. So you're a regular, and they put me on your table." You giggled again. You seem to let loose a little of yourself when you do that. It's such an enticing way of exposing yourself further as a young woman, and you know that, just able to relax in the badinage of conversation between souls that met randomly. "Well, yes, I guess. When you're a zombie, you don't tend to have a fiver left in your back pocket, do you?" "No, I guess not. Too much enticement elsewhere. Brains in particular. Brains, they do be enticing." A pause, and another glance. "I've no reason to read this ridiculous script any further. This little bundle of curious joy is just so much more interesting. And anyway, the last time I read it, I'd been killed by a fucking octopus. How the fuck does an octopus stalk me into a corner?" And Zed was indeed dead, baby. Zed was indeed dead. "Los Angeles, here I come. Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, yet signifying nothing. And if I ever find you, Mr. Writer, I'm going to buy you a drink and then find a way to paint 'You're an idiot' on your back. I'll howl with laughter when I do, don't worry. And Stella, you and I, girl, we need to talk. So, tell me about your mum. What did she do this time?" "Oh, it's nothing. It's just this is her first trip to Europe. Well, first trip to anywhere. And she's a little excited." "Why London?" "Well, she loves Broadway and the theatre. And I won a ticket on the state lottery. So I wanted to treat her for once. It's been just the two of us for so very long." "That's such a sweet thing for you to do, Melody." "Why, thank you, Mr. Englishman. I'm glad you approve." I giggled this time. Oh, my insane staccato trademark that just lets loose when I'm giddy. Like I did when they gave me that pink BMX bike to sit on. Good times, I reflected inwardly. So much has happened since. But I just smiled and dialed it down and glanced down at my watch. "So where is she now?" "Shopping." I pointed her to Bond Street and told her to call me when she's done, which will be probably next Tuesday. That made me snork just a little. "She shops with a vengeance when she puts her mind to it," you added. "Ladies do approach it as a mission calling." "Men see it as a mere inconvenience," I said. She took another sip of coffee, eyes sharp above the rim of that cup. "You still haven't answered question number 2, Mr. Englishman." "I know. I'm just teasing you. Ever so just a little bit." She placed a coffee down gently and breathed deeply. "Yes, you are, aren't you? It's very annoying, I have to say." And then she smiled again, an achingly soft tone to underlie that expression of annoyance. I'm beginning to want my imagination to run wild, because I think she would like that. "Well, It's a film script, truth be told. I didn't write it, and if I ever meet the guy that did, I'm going to make him wish he hadn't. She crooked a hand underneath her chin, eyes sparkling, as she leaned forward a little, elbow placed firmly on the table. Is it really that bad? Bad? I just got killed by an octopus. Her eyebrows slid upwards at this news. An octopus? How the hell would an octopus back you into a corner? Thank you. Yes. How would that ever happen? Another smile flashed back at me. I bathed again in those eyes as they looked playfully into mine. And then it happened. Click. It just appeared in my mind as it always did. Those eyes could be the undoing of me. They really could. I breathed. Slowly. Let's play a game, Melody. She smiled, warm and embracing. Glowing a little, even. Okay. Hands, please. It was time for my Jedi mind trick, now that I knew her birth date. I don't know how I do it. All I know is that it seems to depend on the connection. Once the connection clicks into place, I see a date. It flares into my mind like a text message, urgent and in need of attention. When I did it for Kylie, she just wrinkled her delicate little nose when she smiled and dismissed it as Google. Although she did pinch my bottom later, when I wasn't looking in revenge. When I did it for Kim, she thought I was a wizard. Helena went white as a sheet and proclaimed, "Holy fuck!" If it's a superpower, it's a strange one, let me tell you. As she laid her hands, palm up on the table, I paused. Left or right, I wonder. I know, sometimes I mutter aloud. But right, always right. I delicately reached forward and circled my fingertip widely, stroking her palm slowly. A firm pressure, so as not to be ticklish, but transmitting the desire that was being felt. Circles, wide, then slowly diminishing to a point. Then widening again, reaching and touching each sensitive fingertip, laboring and lingering between each finger, softly grazing my nail to force the point of my investigation, the sense of a shared privacy. And she knew what I was doing. I could feel her reacting. I could feel her melting. I could sense her eyes widening, knowing they were locked as I played my role of magician. But I kept my gaze rooted to the playful touch. July 27th, I whispered out loud. She snapped back in her seat, hands disappearing into her lap. A look of incredulous confusion settling upon that beautiful face, shining and yet turbulent as she heard those words. How the fuck can you know that? I grinned and met those eyes again. You're a lioness, but on the cusp. July 27th, that's the day. You breathed, confused but happy. How? You garbled. I giggled again. I don't know how, but sometimes I can just see inside your head, Melody. And you smiled and blushed, shifting in your chair, biting that kissable lower lip as you stared down into that coffee cup, that low-cut blouse betraying the quickening of your breath. And that was the moment. The click of a pen as a contract is signed away, complicit agreement appearing in the air, and we both knew it. Both could feel it. Melody? I asked softly. Those eyes, so deep and rusty, truly were gateways to the soul, as I could see your naked feelings slipping from you, torn over something, yet pliable, and full of secret desires, slowly rising to meet mine, as you tilted your head just a little bit. "Yes, Mr. Englishman," you answered so quietly. I paused, grinning as ever, as I knew what I was about to say, how it was going to sound, the question I was really asking, buried in so much cliché it might even get overlooked. "Would you like to come back and read my new manuscript? I'd really like you to be the first one to see it." Never fails. Although this situation was slightly different, as I knew the deal had already been done. I mean, we both did. No longer a question of if, just merely an exploration of how, and then when. "I think I would love that," came the reply that I knew was coming, followed by a warm, gentle smile, and big, wide eyes unblinking, as I could see you relax a little more. That's what acceptance can do to someone. We were strangers, and now we are not. Now we are co-conspirators. And we are indeed going to conspire, you and I. I crunched my shoulders up, eyebrows arched, in a comic expression of panic and excitement. You giggled again, both of us realizing what was going to happen. And we gathered our things, as I slung that film script into a battered leather briefcase, grabbed my coat, and stood up, as you sorted out your bags, checked your phone, and quickly but gracefully climbed into your jacket, allowing me to notice your nipples beginning to make their presence felt through that dark, thin blouse, as you flicked your hair and took a breath. "Ready, Miss Melody?" "Yes, let's go." "I'll follow you." She stepped across the crowded floor as we made our exits, threading through tables, letting me see those heels and denim, swinging her hips. Curves and intentions expressed by a woman leading her man away. She was gorgeous, bright and funny, and now completely at my mercy. This was indeed going to be fun. I sidetracked a Tola at the counter as she watched Melody walk out to the pavement and pause for me, an unusually playful half-smile upon her lips this time. "You did good, Mr. Englishman," she said, oh so gently. I grinned. I couldn't help myself, and took a crisp note from my pocket and handed it over with the worst Humphrey Bogart I could muster. "Buy yourself something pretty, pretty eyes." A little sparkle as she suppressed a reaction. God damn it. I will one day make her snork out loud, whether it kills me or not. But that's for another day. "I will, Mr. Englishman, I will," as she motioned to the door. "But you have a lady waiting." I glanced over to Melody. She hooked a stray hair that had been blown out of place by a lazy, gentle breeze, hooked it back behind her ear, shifting her weight over to the left, comfortable and relaxed. She could sense that gazes were upon her, and glanced behind, and smiled. "I know, Tola. I know," I said very, very quietly under my breath. But I snapped out of that moment and turned to Tola again. "Stay being the sexiest barista in London, you unquenchable beast, and I will return," I announced, with a bow of the head and a smile. "You always come back, Mr. Englishman. We all know that. We'll see you soon." I waved a lazy hand in parting, as I strode onto the street, all cars and horns and bustle, sidling up to my waiting conspirator. "Okay, Miss Melody, let's call a cab, and then we'll hear you sing." I grabbed a hand, sliding my fingers between hers, and squeezing tightly, led her to the curbside.
"Taxi!"
I bellowed, in, well, I think it was a Cockney accent. Looking around with my hand in the air, summoning a carriage in black from out of thin air. Diesel engine thrumming, a cabbie pulled over in front of us, sank the window down with a button, leaned over and asked,
"Yes, Gov, where to?"
"The Porchester, and take your time."
"No problem, sir."
I know. Just listen. I opened the door, and she stepped inside and onto the capacious back seat, settling comfortably and adjusting her coat, shifting her bags and sighing a little, and I followed, settling into the corner next to her, pulling the door behind me and stretching my free arm across the backrests, leather case lying on the floor. She gently inched closer, ending up leaning against my neck, a gentle hand reaching across and stroking my chest. Fingers slipping between the buttons of my shirt to feel the hair of my chest, all soft and warm. I turned my head and kissed her hair, breathing in wafts of perfume and faint shampoo as I heard the faintest of sighs escape as you twisted open a button and slipped inside, palm running circles across my nipple, feeling it wake up. Such a soft and beckoning touch. You could feel my heart beating and my chest moving as breath became quickened. I growled so softly and reached into your hair, fingertips slowly pressing and circling till settling into the groove behind your ear, running a fingertip back and forth, rolling your earlobe between my fingers firmly, gently, slowly. Melody, I murmured. Yes, Mr. Englishman, as you tilted your head to look to me. Can you feel my heartbeat? Yes. Do you know why it's so fast? Yes, Mr. Englishman. A little giggly, you added, I like to make your heartbeat faster. I looked into those fucking eyes, leaned in, and planted the softest, slowest kiss upon those shining lips that I possibly could, reaching my other hand across her, cupping the back of her head firmly, feeling her melt and kiss me back strongly, with fingers clenching against my chest, tightening through the hair. My heart beat a little faster, and I growled again, letting my desire kiss harder, circling and opening my mouth as I greedily pressed against her, fires teasing now as she broke and arched her head backwards, letting me tug her head as I eagerly pressed against her soft pale neck, wanting to be a vampire, wanting to bite down hard. Oh, I heard, as you could feel me wanting so desperately. But you were so comfortable here. You knew this was just colours mixing in water, a first foray into discovery, finding and enjoying the notion of conspirators relenting, roving, and just happy to explore. Oh, the joy of having a woman stretch and bare their neck, inviting and utterly adamant at how much they want it to be examined. Moans so soft that I began to think I was merely imagining them, breathing from you as I kissed and nuzzled your neck, trembles at my touch issuing as your hand left my chest and slipped into my hair, holding me tightly as I took your earlobe and imagined that my mouth was elsewhere. This is how gently I'm gonna suck and tease you, how hard I'm going to pleasure you, how randomly you won't know what my tongue is going to do next to fuck you, Melody. And the blissful thing? You already know this. When you uncross your legs to fold yourself tighter to me, to be closer, I know you're pointing your toes already. I can feel it. And I know you're imagining such things as I was too. I slipped my hand to your knee and squeezed before slowly sliding along that denim as I feel you shift yourself again, opening wider as I kiss you harder, biting so gently upon that lower lip, feathering my touch as my hand reaches its destination, feeling you tense at the first aching pressure. I can feel how aroused you are. I can feel how warm you are. And you tense a little, feeling the tingles of a stranger touching you, imagining what if that denim wasn't there. And then that kiss from you happened. One of my hands pressing your cunt, one in your hair. Such abandonment as you simply and greedily ate me, pouring such passion into that moment, eagerly reciprocating a desire from one mind to the other, wanting me to know as you giddily transmit. Such a pivotal moment, and I kissed you so gently back, knowing you would feel the gentle response, knowing that I knew what you were telling me, on the back seat of a London taxi, as it lurched to a stop. "The Porchester, sir. Honeymoon suite?" barked the cabbie, as he pulled to the curb, jolting us apart, breathing and hungry. I grinned and turned to the driver. "Honeymoon? Christ! You should have been there. One of the fire jugglers nearly set fire to Bill Clinton. Oh no! The dog ate half the cake, and one of the bridesmaids got caught fellating my married brother-in-law. I'm astonished we made it to London alive!" I could feel you bury your head into my neck, laughing at such a possible thing. I grabbed our bags and bowled out of the cab, turning and theatrically holding out a hand. "Dear lady wife? Why, thank you, dear husband," you purred, as you took my hand and daintily stepped down. I reached in through the window with another crisp note and grinned to the driver. "Buy yourself something Actually, that doesn't really work, does it?" He smiled a little and tilted his head towards Melody. "You lucky sod," he said quietly, with the biggest of grins.
"I know."
"Have a good one," he said, shaking his head a little as he turned the wheel, and I took a step back as he left with another story to tell the other cabbies over a cup of tea. I grabbed your hand with another giggle, and we sauntered across the plush lobby, all glittering marble, geometric lines, and understated opulence. You looked left and right, drinking in the quiet serenity, and muttered, "Wow, my mum would love this. So many older men in sharp suits." I leaned in and whispered, "The fun starts, trying to decide who's a banker, who's into oil, and who's just had someone killed." You giggled and let go my hand to reach down and squeeze me sharply from behind. "Stop making me laugh, Mr. Englishman," you said softly. Approaching the empty front desk, we stood, waiting, your hand still placed, stroking and teasing, squeezing and circling, enticing the growl to get a little louder still. I leaned across and dinged the bell a couple of times. 5-star hotels. They're a fucking different world. Before the bell had even finished singing, an exquisitely groomed and uniformed Frenchman appeared as if from nowhere and glided towards us. "Good afternoon, Mr. Englishman. How can I help you today?" he said, casting a warm glance to my conspirator, and with a soft nod of acknowledgement added, "Mrs. Englishman, nice to finally meet you too." "Yes, I know. I've given up on accents. I'm awful at them. Come on. Give me some credit." You smiled and blushed a little, looking down as you squeezed me gently again. You were enjoying these games, the obvious subterfuge that was going on, a slight smile playing on your lips, those wonderful red lips, as you bit your bottom lip one more time and stroked me again. "Jean-Philippe, do I have any messages?" "No, sir. Nothing new since this morning." "Very well." I reached inside my inside pocket, plucking another note and handed it over. "I think someone dropped this in the lift earlier. Could you return it to them for me?" Certainly, sir. We shall do whatever is needed, he replied, taking the bill with a knowing smile. Jean-Philippe was a legend, and the only reason I insisted on staying at the Porchester whenever I was here in London. He ran his staff with a glove of iron, and the service was all the more flawless as a result. But always find out who runs the front desk, and then grease them. I learned this from Tim Curry. How else do you get a silver train knocking on the door at 3 a.m. with champagne cocktails, a Rubik's Cube, and sweet and sour pork Hong Kong? Seriously, now that was a fun night. Just ask Kylie. Thank you, JP. And we turned and headed to the lift foyer, waiting and trying to guess which one would go ping first. Number 6 won the race, and we stepped inside, aiming for the 8th floor. As the lift laboured, we faced each other, backs pressed to the wall, just gazing at one another, playful eyes never leaving each other's, lustful thoughts betraying our calm demeanour. I walked over and dragged my fingers up from your hips and over your breasts, nipples now swollen, not caring to be seen through that blouse, and then under your arms, across your shoulder blades, and down the small of your back, before settling again on your hips, drawing you close to me, as you wrapped around me, head upon my shoulder, as if it had always lain there. I peppered your neck with little hard kisses from collarbone to ear and back, growling into your ear so softly as I did so, feeling you folding against me, feeling your blood singing. You silky fucker, Mr. Englishman, you breathed. You made me so wet right now. And you curled and stroked a finger up and down the back of my neck, feeling me sigh at the tingles that it triggered. I am a very bad man, I know. As my kisses got stronger and wetter, my mouth sucking, my tongue licking and pressing against your skin, hearing a gentle moan as you tilted your head further, urging me on, pressing harder to me, your arms gripping the back of my shoulders, holding me, wanting me, and yet knowing me. The lift smoothly settled to a halt, and the doors hissed open, like Star Trek. I broke our embrace and looked into your eyes. Shall we, Melody? Yes, Mr. Englishman, we will. Ambling slowly along the plush corridor, we finally arrive at the Poggioli suite. Card, lock, open, done, closed door. I walk through to the main reception, all simple smooth lines and dark shades, flooded with light from the floor-to-ceiling glass. You can see an awfully long way from the 8th floor, and London looks fantastic when the sun comes out. I threw my old bag casually into a corner of one of the sofas. This place is huge! Wow! You exclaimed with a deep breath. It is pretty fierce. Whenever I'm in London for work, I always insist on this room. You wandered around exploring, looking into every corner, every room, as I took my coat off, checked my cell and prioritized responses. Nothing desperately urgent, I found out, as I heard you in the background. This bed is fucking ridiculous. I know. Jean-Philippe tells me it can comfortably fit 7, I called out.
7?
So I'm told. Are we expecting company? You giggled. As you came back, your head to one side, tossing your coat onto the other leather sofa, just as the sun decided to stream through a break in the clouds, showering you with light, almost making you glow. Your red hair almost aflame, such desire in those eyes. Here she was again, vibrant, beautiful. She had one of those smiles that just lit up. She didn't need the sun to do that. And my growl just got louder. "Do you trust me, Melody?" I asked aloud, firmly, yet gently. "I think so," I giggled with excitement. I just couldn't help it. But her eyes were smiling too as she saw me giggling. "You're wearing far too much over there in the sunlight." "I am?" "Yes. Take them all off, Melody. Let me see the woman you are." She sighed, as if these were the words she'd been waiting for. A blush, and then a shine, and you gave me a look. Those eyes anchoring me to the spot, as if to say, "Be careful what you wish for." Lazily unbuttoning the denim, you kicked off those black heels and shrank a little as your little smooth feet laid touch to the smooth walnut floor. And I kept my gaze, smiling. Little lioness, just uncovering. Thumbs crooked, hips shimmying left and right as those jeans were peeled lower and lower over pale, smooth thighs as you bent down to your toes. Hair askew, motes of dust caught and swirling in the sunlight when you stepped out of them, revealing such beautiful symmetry. You little fucking goddess. But I kept my eyes rooted to you. Blue lacy panties peeking out in public. But I kept my eyes firm. You smiled and shifted yourself to the left foot, pupils dilating. Reaching down with both hands, you disappeared as the loose navy blue blouse was raised from your hips and over your head, discarded, and there you were, blue lace clinging above and below, but not for long. And my eyes didn't shift once, still held, as I breathed and inwardly muttered, "Holy fuck." Panties were wriggled down. With a deft flick of the fingers, reached behind, that sky-blue item of clothing left, snapped and sagged, and as you left your hands relaxing by your hips, it fell to the floor. Revealed willingly, you merely stood there, eyes burning, reveling in the connection made. You are indeed a naked pixie, aren't you, Melody? Breathing hard and fast, shades of sunlight accentuating your curves as you show yourself utterly, the sun playing upon you, showing me why you are a lioness. "Watch me roar, Mr. Englishman," you said so softly, as your arms adopted the Aphrodite pose. One arm across your breasts, one hand delicately poised between your legs. My eyes still lingered, knowing what you just did. And you raised those eyebrows very playfully. "Well?" I let my soft growl have a voice out loud and started to unbutton my shirt, threw it to the side, unbuckled my pants, unthreaded the leather belt and threw it to the other side, placed my hands upon my hips and stood there. I was a hairy-chested motherfucker, and you stood and smiled as I did so, and let the sun play across you. I swear I could see you goosebumping, but I wasn't sure. Maybe it was just my imagination. Maybe it was why you changed the Aphrodite pose and joined both hands above your pussy. This was just another step, allowing me to see you, your breasts swollen and naked, and telling me such things. Pants unbuttoned and stood out of, socks away, boxer briefs peeled theatrically. No giggles this time, just eyes locked. Naked. Finally naked. You and I, just standing there. You gently stand there proud, and your hands slowly shift to hang beside your hips, clenching and breathing. Your will broke first, eyes drifting up and down me, discovering dark hair and muscles in my legs, noticing my weird whirl of hair around the belly button, the definition of muscles around my ribs, the smile upon my lips, the shared notion of you gave, so I will too. And it was clearly making you hungry. I'm naked, Melody. I know. I grinned. You are too. I know that too. And I took a step, as did you, out of the sunlight. Hand outstretched, you stepped closer as the hand was met. Fingers clasping, intertwining, fingers gently smiling, nakedly. A tight and gentle embrace, as both hands now found their partner, fingers melding, your breasts brushing against the hair on my chest, as we inched close enough to kiss again, slow and gripping, your hips shifting and pressing against me, feeling me hot and heavy, pressing against your tummy, my balls just hanging as you squeezed my hands and let your control unwind, arching and pointing your toes, leaning against me, eagerly swirling, biting kisses along my shoulder, feeling me subsume and stiffen, helping to keep your balance as you explored greedily, feeling you tremble, feeling your breasts press against me, so warm and soft, so pale, a rose-stained smeared nipple tingling and touching me. I arched and exposed my neck as you devoured me, almost squeaking as hungry, hungry thoughts nibbled and circled, letting loose a fiery, wild woman. You let loose a hand as you kissed me with aching and searching lips and a tongue intent with such intensity. I recognize what you were doing. You're fucking me, little Melody. Such passion and contact cannot hide it, but you are pretending I'm inside you as you touch and ache and ask questions that I can answer. You fucking little minx. This is my trick, pretending that your earlobe or your toe or your finger or the back of your knee is something else entirely, and you're doing it back to me. You moan as your hand strokes against and then grips me. A thumb strokes the very tip, feeling that silky ooze. As my hand slips underneath you, feeling just how wet and hot and tight you've become. Our hands and lips exploring, feeling just how deep the trembling goes, feeling the warmth and the aching as hungers are spat into that room, two ebbing and flowing psyches synchronizing and gasping. I can feel my growl flinching, and I broke away, but my fingers stay where they were, inside you. Not here, I whisper. Pupils so dilated with the moment, you answered, yes, Mr. Englishman, not here. I gazed again into those fucking eyes, Melody, watching you feel my fingers slip and withdraw, dragging my fingertips against the roof, feeling it register with a little twitch and a little tremble, knowing just how much you felt that was enough for me. And when I licked those fingers clean, I could see you smiling, knowing just how much I enjoyed that. Go, I trembled. You grinned like a maniac, knowing I could see inside your head as you turned and slinked into the bedroom, swinging your hips as you left, trailing your hand from me. The lioness. She roared. You threw yourself upon that bed, knowing I was watching those curves with bated breath and soft, wide eyes. As I followed you into the bedroom, I could see your hair tousled everywhere, arms reaching to the sides, head turned and watching me, one leg straight down, the other crooked, thigh flattened high against the linen, hands grabbing fistfuls as you saw me come to you, cock thick, hard, and swinging. I'd been imagining this moment of surrender, this joyous meeting of two souls, the raw and simple mixture of lust and aching, relishing the touch of a gentle redhead, wondering how slightly different she was to every other woman, eager to discover what would turn her on and light the fuse. Ever since I saw just how well she could fill out that denim, the swing of her hips, the shape of her calves as she walked out of Nibieska's. Actually, that's a lie. She had me at the moment I could see her eyes and how they lit up when she smiled for the very first time. And if that hadn't worked, it would have been the first time I caught a whiff of her perfume, or when I saw her birthday appear in my head and the look of confusion that it created, or the moment we shared the look, both understanding what it meant. Or the spark of just how natural it felt to touch a hand. There was just something so familiar at large here. But it's true. I am a horny little fucker, and I know how to take advantage of just who I am. The little dark-haired journalist at the Ritz, she positively shook when I handed her my cell phone and asked her to type her number in. And when we dined at the Ivy that same evening, she'd worn silver jewellery and a tight little black dress. And that was everything she'd worn, as I discovered later. I'd played the role she wanted me to play and gave her what she wanted. But the melody I heard now was different somehow. Here and now, we were simply crossing paths, as fate had conspired to randomly allow us to do so, which was so refreshing, just two people thrown together, letting me just be a boy, standing in front of a girl, showing her I liked her. So I knelt at the foot of the bed and made you scoot higher so you could reach up above your head as you laid there and grab hold of the little oak slats that lined the head of this ridiculous bed. But for now, I just wanted you to relax. Hands above your head, Melody, and close your eyes. Yes, Mr. Englishman. As your eyes fluttered and closed, a deep breath, as you stretched and settled, a dirty little smile crinkling your lips, as you wetted them with the slowest tip of a tongue. I moved again and knelt beside you, reached over, and circled my fingertip within your palm, watching you stretch it open wide, inviting, and my nail grazed, slowly widening in its reach and touch, and then journeyed across your wrist, down to your elbow, where it circled whimsically in its little visit, deciding where on earth to go next. Down again, slowly, to the crease and lines in your armpit, and more circles, feeling you react and sigh. Back and forth, and then back and forth, and pressing a little. Up now, up against your neck, and again, feeling your racing pulse as you shift and stretch, and voice a restless shiver at the softness of my inquisition. Then a slightly harder trek downwards now. It must surely be gravity's effect, as I slow and circle your pale, rosy-tinted breast. Then zigzag recklessly down your tummy, across your hip, and run down your inner thigh, knee, calf, and sole. I lean and shift, and sidle to the bottom of the bed, and gently rearrange you, legs apart, feet flat upon the bed, knees up, my thumbs stroking hard against the soft skin by your heels and ankles, hearing you moan as my gentle grip places you into a gaping vulnerability, as the whites of your knuckles tighten above your head. You know where this is going, and you want it to be this way. Why wouldn't you? I slide my hands underneath each cheek, fingers pressing and clenching into such warm, soft flesh, noticing those little moles to left, like a constellation of stars in the night sky. You can feel my breath upon you. I'm so close as I watch your glistening little pussy twitch, making juices that were conjured up from deep within, watching them ooze and slowly drip into the bed linen. Such a waste. I feel you press against me with a soft and tremulous moan as my tongue explores a little, taking each little pink curly lip at a time and running up and down, trying not to let the heady scent push me to the edge as I clench my hands beneath you, feeling you restless beneath me as each breath you take becomes softly vocal as I press inside you between those tight but delicate wet pink and crinkly ribbons of desire. A slow and lazy rhythm develops, reaching deep and then slowly withdrawing, flicking your clitoris before diving back within, always tempered to your breaths, teasing and quickening, as if I were grabbing your hand gently and slowly and leading you to the edge of a clifftop with the promise of, there's something I want you to see, and me grinning whilst I did it. Your sighs become softly louder and more insistent, like a wild wind that blew up from nowhere in a bright blue sky, as those beautifully soft hips began to shift back and forth and back and forth and back and forth against my mouth, yearning as my tongue shifts attention to your swollen clit, grazing and flicking as you move, not yet reaching it naked and exposed, but content to roll my tongue over it, swathed in little folds and blankets of warm skin, slickened and wet, blood singing and pink. Just a little beacon of desires and urges. And I can hear you sigh, Mr. Englishman. I giggled. Just a little. Just quietly. As I heard the undertones of aching in those five syllables, which made you quiver a little, with my mouth placed where it was, feeling the vibrations run through your pelvis, tensing just a little, as I growled and let my desires echo and swirl into that wild swirling wind. And I eased back and took a long, slow lungful of air, a little giddy, admittedly, my face shining, muscles stretching and taut as I arched and clenched and stretched like a pussycat in warm golden sunlight. Don't stop, please don't stop. I heard you sigh plaintively. The soft, aching desire of a woman underlying the layers of her expression, a wanting in there, a gentle aching, an edge of hunger, the lightness of the way you spoke, and then reached down and ran your fingers through my hair, fingertips pressing me hard to you, as my mouth opened wide across you, my heavy hands reaching and urging you, and pressing you harder to me, feeling your hips melting, feeling the screams beginning to awaken deep inside, melting and waiting for their chance to bubble up and issue forth, knowing that their time will come, knowing that they will have their chance. Just a man and a woman. Such a dangerous combination. Such a dangerous connection. Such a naked and abandoned connection. Maybe I misjudged you, Melody. Maybe as a man I misread you too. Maybe I thought you were just a minx. And now I know you are a fucking woman. Perhaps it was those fingers gripping me through my hair. The way you heard me. The way your eyes told me. Hands above your head, Melody. Yes, Mr. Englishman. As you grab and held those oaken wind slats and shift subtly beneath me, I want your brain to melt. I want to do so many things to you. I want to caress you. I want to stroke you. Soft flesh shivering and trembling while I do so. I want you to trust me. I already know that you do. You can't escape the notion that when the lady spreads and arches, when my giggly tongue makes her tremble in a hotel room, it's a touch of how humans just let themselves loose. My hands, all veins, big fingers expressing such desires, pad up the forgiving hotel bed. They loved when they were underneath you. They loved when you were guttering words from your mouth. But now my fingertips take each one of your hands from the touch of oak, my arms sliding underneath each shoulder as you let go and let them loose above your head. Interlace the left, strength and power allowing you to be a little one, knowing that when my right hand knits, you will just feel like a fucking woman, feeling my strength lock you into an embrace. I wanted to find where I should cuff you to the bed, little red pixie. I discovered that I didn't need to, did I? All you needed were my hands, tight above your head, clenching, kissing your neck, maybe tightening and squeezing. My hands clench so tightly, wanting you. Oh. Oh, I didn't know just how much you wanted me to do that. And I can hear your voice keening when myself becomes just exactly where you wanted me to be. Owning you. About to own you. Utterly. I slide into you, hearing you gasp as I do so. A man just needing to be a man. My fingers feeling you tighten as my hips discover you when you like to be a woman. In that hotel bed. In that moment. Your legs wrap around me, wanting so much. They press tighter as I whisper. Can you feel me, Melody?
Yes.
I lock my ankles. And you giggle. As you arch and stretch in response, and breathe, and sigh, and moan. You are indeed a little fucking woman. I need to be gentle. I need to be just a man, feeling you beneath me. And now I show you why I'm just a man. A man inside of you. Your legs and ankles. The voice. I can feel where you are. Tight and loving my fingers fucking your fucking fingers back and forth, sliding in and out of you, hearing me be a man. Oh, you made me be that man, pulsing slowly. Those fucking gorgeous smooth legs are so tight, wrapped around me, wanting me, as I made you feel like a woman. I like doing that. My hands are locking you to the bed. Now my thighs stretch a little wider as I arch my back, pinning your legs to me with my ankles, locking you further, feeling my body strength growling, pressing against you, my hips stretching you with every slow and gentle movement, feeling you meet me with your hips every single fucking time. A dance that's only beginning, finding out the rules, discovering the limits, feeling me just a little deeper every time, asking questions and hearing you answer a little louder, a little hotter and a little tighter every time, as your lips feel me inside you, desperate to be fucked, coaxing you, feeling you begin to slowly get wetter and wetter, each drop making me slicker and slicker. Your tightening fingers squeeze me harder, begging me to go further and further. That notion added to by your legs, as every muscle tightened against me, the moans making cries of desperation, as the fire inside made the wind blow stronger. And then I teethed, slid harder this time, every fiber thrusting slowly, building a pressure, feeling you gasp as I slid further and further inside you, pinning you to that bed, hearing you feel me touch you up to the hilt, clenching and tightening the walls of you as I came to a stop and just held my thrust. I just needed to listen to your voice as it let loose a cry from such a deep place inside, and reveled in the ability to make you do that, the ability to touch you, to hear the desire in that room getting more guttural, more and more sensual, naked and raw, faster and yet more desperate. Still holding, feeling you edge back and forth against me, I whispered into your ear, "Melody?"
"Yes, yes, yes. Please don't fucking stop, please."
"I'm gonna fuck you. It's gonna change your life, Melody. It'll never be the same again. Every time a man touches you from now on, you'll remember me and wish. But I won't be there. Every time you tighten your pussy, you'll pray it was me. But it won't be."
"You fucking fuck, Mr. English. Mr. English.
Your cunt belongs to me, Melody."
"Yes."
I could feel you arching and pressing, but my lockdown restricts you enough, so you can only move subtly and minutely. I started to pulse deep inside, mimicking a rhythm that only a woman can truly appreciate, feeling her man unload, clenching explosively, clenching and clenching, harder and harder. And you moaned and arched as you could feel me inside you. "Can you feel me, Melody? Can you feel what I'm doing?" I breathed.
"God, yes.
Next time, I will not be pretending." "Not next time," I whispered.
"Fuck me. You have to fuck me,"
you whimpered gently. And I slowly withdrew, achingly slowly, and then only to the tip. I'm not even going to tell you who taught me that clenching trick. But chances are, if you glance at your downloads, she's in there somewhere, all dark, dangerous eyes and blonde, luscious curls, with a body that women would kill for, and a voice that men certainly would kill for. And then I listened and began again, responding to every aching breath with a deeper dance, feeling the heat drip from you, wanting to make you scream, knowing that you would let me, but letting you show me your rhythm as I slid deeper every single time, faster every single time, hearing you gently dissolving, clenching, and moaning. Your knuckles were white and locked, happy to feel me stretch you with every thrust, delirious to make me begin to let me growl aloud as I felt you dancing, getting fucked by a man. Such cries getting louder as I reached my deepest again. Such sensation skipping through your hips, throwing sparks and light and pure desire through your soul, hearing me chase you as you began to dissolve and my fingers bound you to me. Faster and faster as I began to slam, chasing each cry into a scream of purest filth. I can feel those hips begin to lose control, those muscles undone into spasms of utter dissolution as you arched one final time, screaming in delirium as you let electricity course through you, tensing and spasming whilst gulping air, the sweat shining your smooth flushed skin, feeling me still plunging deep inside, gripping me as I can feel you begging for oxygen as your pussy clenches, sometimes as I thrust. Sometimes not, as my growl gets louder, feeling you riding the wind as the mix of chaos continues. The utter intensities inside you, desperate to make me join you, utterly fucked naked, having let yourself be completely desired, two souls locked together by fingers and ankles. You little fiery lioness, reach inside me and take my hand. Lead me, take me, feel me so deep inside you, feeling you so tight, feeling your cries growing again, realizing I sent you, giving yourself to me, as if that's what it'll take for me to be a man, losing sheer joy among your cries, as you know what's gonna come, as my growls become deeper, switching into breathing control. As the twitch inside my balls begins to signal, the end is getting near. Pure adrenaline, pure motion, as our dance synchronizes perfectly, physical maybe, but this is now a matter of pure energy, not two people. Like two drops of ink dissipating into a glass of water. I'm not even sure where your desire ends and my begins as I feel you tensing again, and I can no longer hold myself. Thrusting once more until the blood sings, every single cell in my body screaming as I arch and cry out loud. Every single sinew tight. As my back creaks and hips cement as my message to you, true this time, is delivered. Pulsing and clenching over and over, pouring into you as you scream exhaustedly at the notion that you could have possibly drawn this from me. As I splash again and again. My voice softening as I cry out, feeling myself relaxing just a little, as my spurts begin to lessen, clenching slower, as you answer every moan and cry, as my locking legs and hands begin to soften too, and you bite into my shoulder gently, knowing and feeling that we didn't just. We just reached inside and touched. Neither of us will be the same again. The lioness roared and found the answer she was searching for. I released my fingers and collapsed against her, feeling her heart pounding inside her chest, smelling the sweat trickling through her tousled red hair, feeling her wrap her arms around me as I breathed and giggled, feeling her shift her legs and hips around my waist, locking me gently, just not wanting the moment to end. "You fucking Englishman," she giggled, nuzzling my neck hungrily as I gently and carefully unwrapped her, laying on my side, facing her, leaving one smooth thigh draped across me as my hands stroked her tenderly, slowly breathing her in. My mind sang, watching those eyes again as they gazed right back at me. And those soft moments passed as we returned to normality, and the wild wind softened and waned, dying to a breeze in the shining blue sky. But you bit down on that lip again, a tiny furrow creasing across your forehead. "I have a small confession to make."
"Oh, really?
Do you remember when the little dark Polish girl came and brought me coffee?"
"Yes, that's Tola.
It's my life's ambition to make her giggle, even if I have to strap her down and tickle her."
"Well, we'd already kind of met. When I walked in to find a table, I saw you straight away, and my heart nearly pounded out of my chest. She saw me just staring right at you, my mouth open at what I could see, and she came over and smiled." You paused, not meeting my eyes this time as you confessed. "I'd known who you were right from the beginning, right from the first second. Tola asked, 'Can I help you?' And all I could do was just nod over and over. And I think she understood what I meant. And that's how we met." Sad eyes finally looked up, unsure and blinking, waiting as her confession hit home. I just threw my head back and laughed. "You little fucking minx! I know, I just couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I couldn't pass up the opportunity to cross you off my list. I've dreamed so many times of this, of how it would start, how it would play, praying so hard I would find out someday."
I just edged forward and kissed her so softly, before leaning down and smartly smacking her on the rump a couple of times. "Melody, do you realize that I just got to wildly fuck one of the prettiest women in London? And you want me to be sorry for that?" "Yes, it does turn out you played me like a fish, whilst I thought I was in control. But isn't it just the age-old story of men thinking they run things, but it turns out they don't? They always need a woman beside them." And she smiled and grinned, and then exclaimed, "Oh, holy fuck, what time is it?" Before jumping off the bed, and ran into the main suite, all jiggles and curves, rummaging for her cell phone, beginning to find scattered clothes, as I walked to watch her panicking, muttering all the while, "She's gonna kill me." She began to throw clothes on, clipping her bra, blouse half hanging off her shoulder, as I spotted something blue, crumpled on the floor, and held it up, as she wriggled into those denim pants, cheeks rosy red, all wild red hair. "Melody," I called out, "shouldn't you be remembering things like this?" As I swung those little lacy things a little around my fingers, she looked up to me, then back down, then back up. "Oh shit, that would so not be a good idea," she laughed, "especially sharing a room with my mum." She wriggled out of that denim again and bounded over, snatching those panties from me before stepping into them and quickly snapping them into place before pausing and frowning. "You do know I don't want to. I just have to," she said, using that curious female logic while she reached and put a hand onto my warm chest, pointing her toes and kissing me hard, before pulling away, standing there, needing to hear an answer. "Yes, I know." "Good." She ran around, finally trying to dress herself.
"Because it's very important to me that you do,"
she called out from the bathroom, tidying her hair and rescuing as much makeup as she could get away with, when an eagle-eyed but tired mother would be scrutinizing her little Melody. I scanned the room, trying to help by spotting anything that didn't belong to me was all in one place as she burst in again, squealing, "Heels!" I pointed there and there as she delicately slipped into them and smoothed herself down, wriggling her hips from side to side to finally feel her uniform was in place. And then she took a deep breath. "Okay, ready," she sighed. "Go tell your mother that you've just been ravished twice by a beautiful stranger. I dare you." She snorted a little. "Yeah, right." And then she added, "But there is one more thing," and stepped to me, twisting one of her fingers as she removed a little jade ring and took my hand and found a fit upon one of mine, placing it home with a kiss. "I wanted you to remember me, 'tis all." And I took one of mine, a little Spanish silver band, and returned the delicate, gentle gesture. "Are we married now, Melody, do you think?" She grabbed her coat and bag, swung herself to the door, and blew me a kiss. "In a way, yes, Mr. English." Her gaze lingered just a little more than a mere goodbye. She was memorizing the moment. The sweet, the lines, the walnut floor, the sunlight pouring through. The playful way I stood there, gleaming, tousled, and utterly fucked. "Goodbye, Mr. Husbandman." And with a flourish and a sway, she'd left to find her mother. Out there somewhere in London. She'd become my muse, just as little Anya had promised. And as I looked down at that gift of a ring, noticing the flecks and marks and deeper hues inside, catching the light and sparkling, dancing in the wind, I realized that Melody had sung her song and bound me. Today was a good day to smile softly, after all.